First Peter chapter 3. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in ages. We got Sunday school, but before that we were gone visiting our family in Massachusetts and had a great time with that. But be here next Wednesday. We'll have teen class. The bus will be running. And this is the year of 30. I know it is. We're going to have 30. I'm hoping for before teens back too to have 30. Be great. So bring your friends. Be here. Be faithful. 1 Peter chapter 3. And hold your finger there and go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And then take your finger out of 1 Peter chapter 3 because we're in 2 Peter 3. So, 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to start reading verse 10. All righty. Nope, 2 Peter. I was wrong. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, and we're going to start in verse 10. And then we will get down to verse 18. I'm going to explain the verse as best I can, but the thought of the message is going to be in the last verse. But let's start in verse 10. It's kind of like a big, long, run-on sentence. Not run-on sentence, but a big, long sentence. Verse 10 says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Talking about the rapture of the church. That is a whole other message and a whole other really series in itself about when the Lord comes back. Jesus said when he ascended into heaven that he would return for us. And this verse is talking about when Jesus is going to come back and the trumpet's going to sound. They just made a movie, another movie about called Left Behind, about when God calls his children home. That's a real thing in the Bible that it talks about. But the verse says right here that it's going to come as a thief in the night. No one knows when that's going to happen. Nobody knows the day. People all over the world, people that are scholars and they think they know everything, people have tried to pick dates when Jesus can come back. There was a book written in 1988, 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88 and didn't come back. So people think they know, but the Bible says he's going to come as a thief in the night when no one's ready, when no one's expecting it. Verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Those two verses start talking about, say, listen, because God's going to come back, because Jesus is going to come back and gather his children up, we don't know when it is, because we know that's true, though, we need to be making sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're living for God. We're in God's will. It says right there, "Seeing that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Could you imagine you're doing something stupid? You're out at the bar drinking, and Jesus comes back, and you're saved, and the last thing you were doing before Jesus came back was drinking at the bar. Or the last thing you were doing was watching something you shouldn't watch. The last thing you were doing was get an argument with your family or whatever it may be. I wouldn't want that. No, I want to be doing what God wants me to do, obeying God, living for God when he comes back. Verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Talk kind of about the same thing, but listen, when he comes back, how's he going to find you? When Jesus returns, what will you be doing with your life? Verse 15, "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction." Verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Man, it's a powerful verse, and especially can apply to teenagers. Because it's saying this, it's saying right there in verse 17, you know that God's coming back. We know that the Bible says that we need to be ready, we need to be holy, we need to be doing right, we need to be obeying God and his commands. We know those things. But it says, beware. Beware, ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Steadfastness means being firm, being solid, being knowing exactly what you're supposed to do, and you're not. Nothing's going to move you. Nothing can move you from what you're doing. Being steadfast. And this verse says, listen, if we're not careful, if we're not being wary and bewaring and not being careful, that sometimes things can get into your life that can lead you away from God. And that steadfastness that you had, it's gone. And then you're just kind of carried about with every wind of doctrine, doing whatever everybody else is doing. And it says you need to be aware of that. The error of the wicked, whether it's from friends, whether it's from family even in some cases, whether it's something that you watch, something that you do, the devil knows how to get a hold of you. The devil's not an idiot. The devil knows what to use to tempt you to get away from God. And the Bible says, beware of that. And the verse 18 is where we're going to focus. It says this, but grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I want to focus on that phrase, grow in grace. I want to talk a little bit tonight about growth as a Christian. You're a Christian teenager. You're saved. As far as I know, everyone in this room has made a profession of faith, said, you know, I got saved at this age or whatever, and you have a clear testimony. Listen, Christianity, Christians, no matter if they're teenagers or older, whatever, no matter the age, Christians need to be growing spiritually constantly. None of us have ever arrived. I've had to train myself. Listen, Pastor Donald, no matter if you're a youth pastor or not, you've got to realize that you don't know everything, and you're not. You always need to be growing. You always need to be learning. I don't ever want to get to a point when I can't learn from somebody or learn from a situation and think that I know everything. I know I don't know everything. We need to be constantly growing as teenagers. It's very easy sometimes. I know I did as a teenager. I thought I knew everything. I thought I had the answers to everything. I thought my parents were crazy sometimes. And by the way, may I stop with this? So glad to have my parents with me here from Massachusetts. And they've been with us this month. They had a great time so far. But there were many times, and they could probably amen to this, that I thought I knew better than they did, and I was dead wrong. Sometimes I would say things. I'll never forget a time. Oh, so stupid of me. We were getting ready to change schools, Christian schools, and I loved the school I was going to because I had friends there, and it was pretty easy, and it was simple. And I'll never forget, they were telling me that we were going to switch schools, and I didn't want to, and I was annoyed at them, and I was being a brat. And I remember they're saying, they were trying to explain to me, and they weren't being rude. They weren't yelling at me. They were just telling me, listen, this and that, and tell me the reason. And I remember I said this, dumbest thing I ever said. I said, well, whatever, you know, I'll go to the other school, but I'm just going to have a bad attitude anyway if we go to the new school. And it was like the stupidest thing ever, man, bad move. And listen, I thought I had the answers. I thought I knew what was best for me, and I didn't. And it's very easy sometimes as a teenager to think that way, that you know what's best for you, but you've got to learn to trust your parents and trust God that He's given you the parents in your life for a reason. But we need to be growing. That's the thought. We need to be growing as Christians. Always being willing to learn. It's very easy, especially if you grew up in church, you hear a Bible story, you hear a message, oh, I've heard this before. Oh, I've heard the pastor preach this before. Don't be like that. Christians need to be growing constantly. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things are become new. Man, I tell you, I've read my Bible through, praise the Lord, thank God, I love the Word of God. I don't read it like I should, but I try to read it every single day. And there are times when I'll read a chapter that I've read 100 times, and something new I'll see. The Lord will give me something else that I never saw before. That's how God is. There's nothing that just gets old with God. No, He's always ready to teach you new things. His Word is always ready to help you learn something new for your life. We've got to be growing. As Christians, whether you're saved for a while or you just got saved, changes have to be made. Positive changes have to be made. If you've been saved for 5 years and you still have a problem cussing, man, that's not good. You're supposed to be growing in grace and getting closer to God and learning more about the Word of God and making positive changes in your life. Could you imagine if Donald Jr., he's 3, he'll be 4 this year. Could you imagine if Donald Jr., 10 years down the road, he'll be 13? Crazy to think about, be a teenager. But could you imagine when he's 13, if he still walked around with a baby bottle, drank out of it? It'd be stupid. Or he walked around with a diaper on, and we'd be sitting there holding up his 13-year-old teenage legs, wiping his bottom. That would be just weird. And that wouldn't be right. That wouldn't be right. No, because he'd have to grow. He's to make some changes. He's not going to be wearing a diaper. He's not going to be using a bottle. He's not going to be having a pacifier walking around. No, he's going to change. Could you imagine? My mother's in town. Can you imagine if my mom's in town and I'm in the morning and I'm like, Mom, come here, Mommy, please. Can you make me a bowl of cereal, please? And can you make me a sandwich and cut the crust off for me, please? And or let's say my mom's in town and I expect her to tuck me in at night. be kind of weird. It's just, you make changes. As you get older, you grow. Now, I didn't grow much taller than I was when I was 12, but still, in your mind, and sometimes people do get taller, you grow. It's just, it's life. And as Christians, in your Christian life, there needs to be growth. It's got to be times when you make some changes, and you get better at things, and you give up some things, and you start doing some other things. It's growth. It's growth. The Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's not talking about the things I was just talking about with my mom and with Donald Jr. That's talking about spiritual things. Listen, if you've had a problem with anger, and you've been saved for 10 years, and you still got a problem with anger, then you're not growing spiritually like you should. Growing. You need to be growing. Life is about growth. Christianity is about growth. I have this little object lesson I want to show it to you. This plant is from a funeral a few weeks back before Christmas, and Miss Hazel thought it very special to put it in my office just because there's nowhere else to put it. So she put it in my, I forgot about it. It was a plant. I was working. Well, I left. I got home. I was looking at it yesterday. I said, oh, my goodness. I'm like, what is the deal here? And obviously, you can hear the rustling of it. It's dead. Okay, it's dead. It's obviously not doing too hot, and it's very dry, and it's a dying plant. Obviously, it's falling apart. And at first, I got a little annoyed. Like, come on, stupid plant in my office. Then I thought, you know what? Immediately, the Lord gave me a thought. And I thought about myself as a Christian. And I thought about my life being compared to this plant. When this plant was given to me, I think it was the day of the funeral. It's fresh. It had life. It was everything was fine. It obviously it's made to be a decoration. It was doing its job. It was a beautiful plant. The leaves were obviously upright and it looked great. It was doing what it was made to do. It was taken care of. The dirt was not all crumbly. It was moist. It had a moisture in it, and everything was fine with it. But because I didn't take care of it, because I didn't do what I should with the plant, it died. It's dead. It's dry. Not saying that there's no hope for it, but these leaves are all dead. You can see it. The dirt is dry, and the roots are probably dry. It's a mess. It's dying. This plant can represent your Christian life. Can represent my Christian life. If it's not taken care of. I looked up. And I thought I knew, but I wanted to check. But how do plants die? And I have three things, and I'll be done with it. And it'll be quick. But I really want to finish with this thought. I want you to think of this plant. It's just a plant, I know. But I want you to really think about your life, where you're at spiritually right now. Maybe you've only been saved for a few months. Listen, you're in the beginning stages of growth. You're like a baby Christian. But if you've been saved for a while, you've been going to church for a long time, and you're looking like this, there's a problem. A plant dies because it doesn't get watered. I've had this plant since right around a little bit after Thanksgiving, I think. And I haven't watered it once. I didn't even know it was in my office till I just didn't even see it. But it didn't get watered. As Christians, I think of the Word of God, the living water. I think of the water of the Word of God. If Donald Savini, youth pastor, but beyond youth pastor, Donald Savini, Christian man, if I don't water myself with the Word of God, and I mean reading it, I mean really trying to get some, if I don't water myself with the Word of God, I will die spiritually. I will die spiritually. If I go throughout my life, let's say I'm not an atheist, let's say I'm a doctor, but I'm a Christian, and I want to do right in the Lord's eyes, and I want to be close to God, and I do not water myself with the Word of God, I will die spiritually. That's the truth. Listen, I can't get all my nourishment from the preacher's messages. I can't get all my nourishment from good Christian music. I can't get all my nourishment, spiritual nourishment, just from praying once in a while. No, I need the Word of God. I need to be in this book. Are there times when I don't understand it? Yeah. Sometimes when I read something, I'm like, what does that mean? But there are other times, and most of the times, when I'm reading this book, when I'm reading the Word of God, and God just gives me something great, and God speaks to my heart, and He convicts me, and He challenges me, and He encourages me through this book, the water of the Word of God. As a Christian teenager, listen, I know you're busy, you got school, some of you work, you got all these things going on in your life, but if you do not make time to water yourself with the Word of God, you will end up like this plant, dead spiritually. You'll never get closer to God. You won't know what God's will for your life is. You need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. Without it, you're going to die spiritually. Another way a plant dies is because it's not in the light. Maybe it's in a dark place in the shade. Plants need sunlight. This sat in my dark office for 3-4 weeks. It's dying. Didn't get the sunlight it needed. It needs that light. I don't know all the scientific part of it, but I know there's science in all that, why it needs that light. And as Christians, we need to surround ourselves with the light, with God, with the things of God. That's why we have church. That's why we have youth group. That's why we have youth activity. That's why we're going to a youth rally next Saturday. Listen, those are the things of God. If you surround yourself with just the things of the world, listen, how do you expect to grow spiritually? How do you, if you're only at church once in a while, kind of when you want to and when you feel like it, how do you expect to grow in grace? How do you expect to grow and get closer to God and grow as a Christian? You won't. You won't. You'll either stay the same spot or you'll die spiritually. Because the less you do of these things, sooner or later it gets lesser and lesser and lesser. You don't do it at all. Listen, you need to have light. You don't want to end up like this plant spiritually. You need to surround yourself with the things of God. Yeah, that's talking about the Bible. It's talking about prayer. But it's talking about church attendance. It's talking about soul winning. Being a witness. Listen, you need to have the things of God in your life. I bet you if you took a pen right now and a piece of paper and you wrote down all the things in your life that you do or things that you do during your day and think about each one and think about how many of them are going to bring you closer to God. I bet you'd be pretty small. Listen, I'm a youth pastor, and if I made a list, I think there probably wouldn't be as many things as there should be that are going to help me, the things of God in my life. I'm a youth pastor. Listen, you got to surround yourself with the things of God. You need light. You need that light. Last thing is this. A plant will die if it's not protected. Now, this plant's an inside plant, but still. Plants, a lot of times, have insecticide on them, whether it's an apple tree, fruit tree. Because if they don't have insecticide, the bugs are going to get in there and all the different kinds, and they'll destroy it. They'll kill that plant from the inside out. You ever had an apple and there's a worm in it? Not good. Not good at all. Doesn't give it any extra flavor at all. And a plant, whether it's a tree, whether it's a plant, it needs to be protected. It needs to be taken care of. If I had a plant in my house, or if Marissa had she has a flower garden at the house, I'm not going to be letting the kids play in the garden and stomping over the flowers. No, I'm going to keep it protected. I'm going to make sure that it's got the spray on it so that, you know, the weeds start popping up and you kill those weeds so they don't choke it out. No, I want those plants to grow. And as Christians, you need to protect yourselves spiritually from the things of the world, from the things that are going to draw you away from God. You need to protect yourselves. You need to set up rules in your life. Maybe in your life you live in a home where there are rules already. Well, as much as those rules sometimes annoy you, they're there for a reason. They're there to protect you. Your parents don't make rules just to tick you off. No, they put rules in life because maybe they've seen things in the past when they were a kid that they struggled with, and they don't want you to struggle with the same thing. So they have these rules. You can't hang out with this person. You can't be out this late. You can't watch this, whatever it may be. And you say, all these rules are so annoying. But no, they're there to protect you. They're there to help you. Maybe you live in a home where there are no rules, and you get to make your own rules. Well, as a Christian teenager, you need to make some rules in your life. You need to set up some walls in life, things that you're just not going to do. Hey, I'm not going to hang out with that crowd because I know that they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. Hey, I'm not going to listen to that kind of music because I know the attitude that it gives me. Hey, I'm not going to talk like that. Or I'm not going to talk about those things or watch that show. Whatever it may be, if you need to set up some rules in your life because you don't really have any in your home, you need to do that. You need to be protected. Listen, this plant was in my office, so it was kind of protected. But listen, you look all around you. When you're outside, and you'll see plants that are dead, or plants that have been eaten, or plants that I've seen, or you know, deer will get into a garden or whatever, and they'll destroy things. That's because they're not protected. Listen, as a Christian teenager, as a Christian in general, you've got to be protected. Without setting up some walls and some barriers in your life, then you're going to get destroyed. The devil knows exactly what to do to tempt you. And if you don't have walls set up, and you don't, if you don't have decisions made in your life that are going to keep you protected from the things of the world, things of the devil, listen, then you're going to die spiritually. You're going to die spiritually. I'm finishing with this. Teenager, you need to grow. You need to grow. Maybe you think, you know, I've been saved for a while and I really haven't really grown much as a Christian. Well, start tonight. Say, you know what? I need to become a better Christian. I want to be a better Christian. I want to grow as a Christian. I want to grow closer to God. Well, it's time to grow. You can do it. It's not impossible, whether you come from a good Christian home or a not Christian home. You can grow. You can get closer to God. Listen, you don't need me. You got the Word of God. You got prayer. You got God on your side. You can grow as a Christian, and you need to grow as a Christian. It's a command. He says, grow in grace. It's a command. God says, you need to grow. Not if you want to. No, he says, you've got to grow. You need to grow in grace. It's a command. And you don't want to spiritually end up like this plant, dead, really good for nothing. Listen, I don't want you to end up like that. I want you to flourish. I want you to bloom. I want you to be a beautiful thing for the Lord and do great things for God and be in God's will, whatever that may be for your life. I want you to flourish. Your parents want you to flourish. God, most of all, wants you to flourish. He wants you not to look like that spiritually. No, he wants you to water yourself and be surrounded with the things of him and be protected. Listen, you need to grow, and you can grow. Head bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many say, Pastor Donald, I'm saved, and I know that I'm saved. I know that if I died today, then I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand up. I know I'm saved. Raise your hand up. Okay, awesome. Now, keep your heads bowed. Now, here's the question. Whether you've been saved for 2 months, 2 years, or for 10 years, how many would say this? And be honest. No one's looking around. You say, Pastor Donald, I don't think that I have grown spiritually like I should. Would you raise your hand up? Be honest. I see those hands. Listen, teenager, you can grow. You can get closer to God. It's about discipline. Listen, that plant that sat in my office, if I wanted it to live, I could have got some water and poured it in. I could have put it outside for a little bit. I could have put a light on it so it had some light. I could have kept it more protected, but I just didn't really take care of it. I didn't really care. Maybe that's the problem in your heart. You say, yeah, I need to grow. I haven't grown like I should, but you just don't really care about it. So that's something that you need to talk to God about. Say, Lord, help me to care more about my spiritual state. Maybe you just haven't really had the discipline. Maybe you just have a hard time. Maybe you just church attendance and reading your Bible and praying and being a witness and doing right. Those are just things that you really haven't really decided to do in your life. You're just kind of going through the flow. Make decisions. Maybe it's about reading your Bible. You need to read your Bible more. Maybe it's about praying. Maybe it's about just being here at church faithfully. Whatever it may be in your life, decide tonight that you're going to make some changes and you're going to grow spiritually. Lord, please bless these teenagers.